WCF WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King in Orlando. We're just 2 hours away from the union-imposed strike deadline for an agreement between the United Auto Workers and the Big Three automakers. A strike could hurt other businesses, such as Jan Howard's Meat Market in Lambertville, Michigan. It would force her to order less expensive meats for customers with less cash to spend.
It'll affect the way I order. When I do my orders, I'll have to make sure I have enough of the other products in here.
CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
We talked to a restaurant owner across the street from the Stellantis plant, very worried about what it means for their business. If folks don't go to work, they don't stop in there to have a drink after work or to have dinner. And if people are living on $500 a week strike pay, they're probably not eating out. So the ripple effect for some folks will be felt very quickly. For consumers trying to buy a vehicle, that could be a matter of a couple of weeks before it gets hard to find what you're looking for.
The union's expected to announce which plants it will strike just about now. Hurricane Lee is expected to become a tropical storm when it makes land. Fall Saturday, storm watches and warnings are up for the New England coast and for Nova Scotia, which is expected to get the worst. Weather Channel meteorologist Stephanie Abrams says New Englanders will feel it.
The winds will ramp up on Friday, crank through the day on Saturday, and then slowly start to taper off as we head into our Sunday.
Researchers say the Earth is becoming a more dangerous place climate-wise. Here's CBS's Elaine Cobb.
A new study says the Earth is rapidly becoming less safe for humans, and it's mostly our own fault. Writing in the Science Advances Journal, an international group of scientists said they gave the planet a simulated stress test, and it performed poorly on 6 of 9 key measurements. The Earth could do better on climate, biodiversity, and fresh water, among others.
Hunter Biden has become the first son of a sitting president to face criminal charges, which include lying about his drug use when he bought a firearm back in 2018. Last year was another record year for school shootings in the U.S. CBS's Christopher Cruz has been crunching the numbers.
There were 188 shootings with casualties at public and private schools during the 2021-2022 school year. That's more than twice as high as the 93 shootings recorded the previous year. The annual report from the National Center for Education Statistics says there were injuries in about two-thirds of the shootings and deaths in 57 of them. The report says almost all school shooters are males, the majority between 12 and 18. Christopher Cruz, CBS News.
Johnson & Johnson says it's replacing its logo, which reproduces the signature of its co-founder. The company has used it for 135 years. It will stay on some products. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm Captain Ann Maxson with the Wisconsin State Patrol. Safety on our highways is a team effort. Every day, our troopers and inspectors focus on keeping people and commerce moving safely. Drivers can do their part to prevent crashes and needless tragedies by remembering two simple things. Buckle up, phones down. Thanks for helping us move towards zero deaths on Wisconsin roads.
A safety message, sponsored by the U.S. and Wisconsin DOTs.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Menu or place a takeout order at nightingalempls.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cook, didn't cut
Indian. Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kutagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And, you know, we always say start the show out is that Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are absolutely right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yes, they've been working with us for so long, and it's really our honor to have them supporting us as we support them and their work all over Turtle Island. Just a great organization. We're here with Robert Lilligren, and we are going to be talking about some things here. I just got a phone call, so it was really weird. It just threw me off a second there. But welcome, Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities and in Minneapolis. Thank you so much for being on. It's always our pleasure. And I just got to tell you this before we get going, Robert. We ran into a lot of people at the fair. We run into people, and it's just, you know, they recognize my voice or come see me. And it's just like, I just got to say, there's just, this show wouldn't be what it is without guests like you. And really, no one wants to hear me mumble, and it's great conversation that we always have with you.
Yeah. Well, Timigwex, Robert, and Buju Haley, Buju Robert. It's great to be here. I really appreciate it. I enjoy our time together, and we never quite really know where this conversation's going to go.
I know. I always feel bad when you say that, because I remember we would plan on stuff and I would go south on you. And thank goodness Wendy has been on the show for so many years, would say, ask Robert what he wants to talk about in this segment when we have a commercial. But it's always great to talk, and always fulfilling. And I think our fans, if I can put it that way, and the people that listen to us really enjoy our kind of fireside chats each week.
I agree. Well, I enjoy them anyway, but it does surprise me how often I hear out in the community, oh, I heard you on the radio. I heard you on Robert Pilot's show. they really, folks listen in.
Yeah, they do. It really is. It really has been a blessing. And again, it's grown because of great guests like you and spending your time, your own personal time, speaking the truth and talking and letting our listeners know what's going on in Indian country and our perspectives on politics and whatnot. And you're our go-to politician here on Native Roots Radio. And there's some crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, well, you have a lot of good politicians that come on this show, so but I'm happy to be counted among them. Thank you. But yeah, so what I've been focused on pretty much all day, or I just can't take my eyes off it, is the launching of the impeachment inquiry of President Biden in Congress, in the House. And it is a farcical show.
Right.
I think it's going to have incredibly powerful reverberations through this upcoming election cycle that could be very good for people on our side of the aisle.
Well, what's interesting, too, is I hear people, politicians, you know, our best and brightest, supposedly say these outrageous things and say things that are totally not true to their constituents and make it true. And it just blows my mind.
It does. It blows my mind, and it just kind of rubs me the wrong way, because it's what diminishes people's confidence in government, in their elected officials. You know, it's just sort of commonly held belief that politicians are always lying and things like that. And I can honestly say, in 12 years of being in elected office, I never told a lie to my constituents. You know, it's not that hard. You know, you can, there's a part of it where you kind of have to spin something a little, but it's still the truth. But yeah, people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Congresswoman, who most people feel is the true speaker of the House right now, and she seems to be pulling McCarthy's chain on this impeachment inquiry. And I just don't know where it's going to go. You know, Hunter Biden can't be impeached. I'm guessing he'll likely be prosecuted for something, but he's not the president. There's no credible evidence linking his activities to the president. And so I don't know where they think this impeachment inquiry is going to go, but I have a hunch it's really going to stir things up.
Well, you remember that Biden had Hunter Biden had a fine, and he paid back the IRS with the gun thing, and then that wasn't good enough for the Republicans, and they revved this back up, and they're you know, these are things that happened years ago, and I think he's been sobered up, and I think he paid back the IRS the money he owed, and you know, so it's really bizarre. And I also hear the drum pounding about Hillary again, too. And it's like, what the heck?
You know, it amazes me. And, you know, you look at Hunter Biden, he's a troubled guy, right? Yeah. And, you know, we certainly are no strangers to trouble, and within our community, within our families, I think people are generally sympathetic.
Right.
And I think people respect that Joe Biden would stand by his son when he needed to. But he's it's this lack of evidence that amazes me. And, you know, there's a Trump era finding opinion by the Department of Justice, the DOJ, that says that an impeachment inquiry needs to move forward after a vote of Congress.
Right.
That was something that Trump really held up. And I don't know if they're going to get that, you know, vote of Congress. And if you look at it, there are, what, 18 Republican members of Congress who represent districts that were taken by Biden.
Yeah.
Won by Biden strongly in some cases. Their voters aren't going to want them supporting some impeachment inquiry. And so I have a sense that this really may upset the apple cart. You know, Democrats only need to win 5 seats to take back the majority. And I think that this impeachment inquiry makes that more likely.
Yeah. And it's bizarre. You know, we have our own politicians like Stauber that will go up and talk about these great bills that were passed that he voted against, but he doesn't say that. And then we have that Boebert, who talks to her people in Colorado totally different than she talks when she's in Washington.
Right. Well, and of course, when there's money involved, right, they want to bring home the bacon that they voted against. Right. And it's just, it's so shameless. And yeah, they're not really bringing anything home. Their more reasonable Republican colleagues and the Democrats brought the bacon home. And you bring up Lauren Boebert. I don't know if you saw the clip about her last night. She got thrown out of a theater in Denver.
You know who I am?
Right. Do you know who I am? But she was disruptive and vaping and filming, you know, taking video and just,
It's an upside down world. And I don't know, are we going to head back to civility? I heard that just on the news here yesterday that Mitt Romney is not running for re-election, and he's kind of become the voice of reason in the Republican Party, but he said he'll be like 84 if he runs again. So
yeah, and now he's encouraging Biden to step down as well because of this age thing. And you know, it's just amazing to think of Mitt Romney as sort of the voice of reason, but he did vote to impeach Trump, to convict Trump twice.
Right.
He voted twice. So he's one of the very few Republican senators that cast that vote twice.
Well, Robert, you know, what's interesting is there's been no talk about age with Trump or Biden until just recently. And it's like, is that all the Republicans got right now? And I know some, you know, podcasters out there that are nationally known or crying about that, but they're also anti-vaxxers, so I don't really listen to them. They do have good guests, but it's interesting that all of a sudden this has popped up, because as we know, in my job, I have so many experts working for me, and he isn't like doing heavy lifting. He's the figurehead in a way.
Right. I think it's something to glom onto. I think we're seeing things like Senator Feinstein and McConnell, who are having these very senior moments and experiences that are lifting that up.
Exactly. Hey, we're here with Robert Liljegren, and we're having fun as usual, talking a little politics, national politics here. I think we'll talk a little bit more about this because it's so darn interesting. And Robert is the CEO of the Native American Community Development Institute, NACD. And we'll be right back. I got that right this time. We'll be right back after this short break. Ho-wa!
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Back to school season is here. And while this is an exciting time for parents, kids, and educators, let's not forget how far we've come in our battle against COVID-19. We're in a better place, but COVID-19 is still here, and we need to continue to help protect our communities. With the flurry of new schedules and classrooms, let's not overlook the fundamentals of staying safe. Wash your hands regularly and watch for any symptoms like fever, chills, a cough, or shortness of breath. Should you or someone you know have COVID-19 symptoms, stay home and get tested. Find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us. Let's have this back-to-school season be a time of renewed commitment to our collective health and brighter future for our Native communities. Again, find more tips on continuing to be safe at health.state.mn.us.
This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
From chasing fall colors on a scenic road trip to epic hikes, fall festivals, apple orchards, or long hours on a patio, fall in Minnesota offers clear blue skies, an endless tapestry of color, and unmatched beauty, perfect for setting the stage for any colorful adventure. Plan your dream trip at exploreminnesota.com. Sponsored by Explore Minnesota, aired by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wow.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by NACD, All My Relations Art Gallery in Minneapolis.
Hey, we are here with Robert Lilligren, a CEO of Native American Community Development Institute, NACD, and I'm working on that, you know.
Okay. You're doing great.
Haley and I were talking about off the air about how it took me 2 years to say Mary Kunish Podine, and then she changed her name back to Mary Kunish, and you know, it's just like, that's, it's just my cross to bear here. I can't.
It can be a challenge. It can be a challenge.
Hey, so we touched a little about national politics, but I think let's talk some Native stuff here. What do we got coming up here? I know there's a lot of things coming up.
Yeah, there's so much coming up. Of course, we have Indigenous Peoples Day coming up on October 9th. And so the community is just planning like crazy to make it very meaningful. There's things going on throughout the metro area here in the Twin Cities. There's a parade in St. Paul. We'll start the day, and I know, Robert, you like to attend this, but with the sunrise ceremony at the Dame Akaska, which is one of the premier lakes in Minneapolis, which was renamed not long ago from its offensive former name, and now it's the Dame Akaska. We gather there around 7 o'clock sunrise, and I always remember this on October 9th is 7:15 a.m. And it's this ceremony grows every year, and there's prayer and recognition of the water, and a lot of people show up, a lot of VIPs. Our congressperson shows up often, our mayor and others, and they don't show up there to be showy or to speak.
Right.
They really show up there to be with community.
Yeah, and I remember last year Omar was there, and they didn't mention her because she was so low-key, and I had to go over and talk to the MC and say, hey, she's here, and they gave her a shout-out because that's huge. And I remember having her on the show and not really – when she first ran years ago and not really on top of Native issues, and I think she's really become a great advocate for us and learned so much.
I agree. She is a great friend of the Native community. This is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who represents most of Minneapolis, or maybe all of Minneapolis, and some suburban communities. And she shows up at for Native events. You know, I was so glad that you went and told the MC that at the sunrise ceremony. Had you not done it, I would have. And again, she wasn't there to speak, but I think just to show respect, you know, she should be acknowledged. And she does that a lot. Yeah. She'll show up at big Native events, and I'll always go up to her and say, you know, Congresswoman, would you like to speak? Would you like to address the crowd? Oh, no, I'm just here to be with the community. So we always acknowledge her. She has brought home the bacon to our community, too. She brought $3 million of federal funds to our Indian Center rebuild.
Wow.
Recently. Wow. And yeah, so I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I'm interrupting you, and I apologize. But you know who always else used to and still does show up in incognito is the former governor, Jesse Ventura. Have you noticed?
Oh, yeah. That's
crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's been at our MMIW march and things like that. I walked with him a little. He's such an interesting guy. Yeah. I met him when I was first running for Minneapolis City Council. He was at an event a friend of mine was holding. And so I ran up and I said, hello. He was governor then.
Right.
And I said, hi, governor. I'm Robert Lilligren. I'm running for Minneapolis City Council. And he didn't like the administration that was in place there. And so he says to me, Robert, you got to get that click out of City Hall. So I go, I'm trying, governor. I'm trying. And he says, and he puts his hand on my shoulder. He said, Robert, if you touch them, they'll vote for you. I'm like, okay. And I think he meant shake their hands or touch people. But I think it could mean touch them in the heart, you know.
Right.
So he gave me some good campaign advice all those years ago.
That's hilarious. I got a good impersonation from him, too. He goes, years ago when he was wrestling, and they had that pretend war with Grenada. I don't know if you remember that, but he was wrestling, and he was a Navy SEAL, and he came to the ring, and he was a bad guy all those years, and he said, "I just got back from a vacation in Grenada," and the whole audience just applauded.
That's good. Yeah, but, he's quite a character.
Yeah, but that's the support in Incognito. We really appreciate that, because at the time when I'd see him in years past, I was the selfie king before I became an elected official, and now I've kind of settled down on that. And he said, "No, don't take a selfie with me." And it's like, okay, that's cool. I respect that.
Interesting. Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be found out, you know, that he's there supporting, you know, he wants to be just a normal person.
Yeah, and then also on Indigenous Peoples Day, Monday, October 9th, a project in NACTI, it's called Make Voting a Tradition, and that we call it. It's a intergenerational, year-round approach to engaging Native folks in the political process, the policy realm, in meeting their elected officials and holding them accountable, and it's just great. It's been up for about 8 years now, eight years. And on October 9th, from 12 to 4, we're going to be holding a candidate forum.
Cool.
And Native Voter Registration Day. And MVAT has done incredible work in registering Native people to vote and getting Native families, you know, children and grandparents to go vote, focusing on 16 and 17-year-olds, getting them pre-registered. But we'll have candidates. We have an election here in Minneapolis, the city council election in November. And so we'll have candidates from city council, candidate forums. We'll have some sort of explanations about how city government works, how it impacts you. And so folks can go to the Make Voting a Tradition Facebook page to get more details on that.
Well, you know, as you're speaking, I was thinking, you know, we've got so many good things here happening governmental-wise with the trifecta here in Minnesota, but a lot of that has to do with the strength of making voting a tradition. And the last couple cycles, we've really become a power here in the whole state of Minnesota because of that. People are taking notice, and we also have a lot of great representation, too.
We do have great representation here. And then Make Voting a Tradition organizers went up north during redistricting a few years back and really influenced and impacted the congressional map up in northern Minnesota. So for the first time in history, the three big reservations in northern Minnesota are all in the same congressional district. And our guys had something to do with that.
Absolutely. And I know another organization was up there too. And you guys, I heard the number of 9,000 new registered voters in two cycles ago that made a huge difference in this state. And with the governor and all the big, was the presidential campaign too.
Right. Yeah. And then one other kind of fun thing I wanted to bring up is, and as you know, because you come here all the time, our organization, NACTI, has our Four Sisters Farmers Market every Thursday through the season from 11 to 3 right on Franklin Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. And on September 21st, so that must be the next market after, we're holding a pickle off, we call it. It's a pickle contest. And we're partnering with the Indian Health Board of Minneapolis and some of the residents from Little Earth. We did this a couple of years ago, you might remember.
Yeah.
And it was just a hit. And so on the 21st, we're going to have our pickle contest.
Explain that to everybody.
So people enter, community people who have made pickles. We have different categories.
Mm.
You know, cucumber sweet, cucumber dill, cucumber hot, you know, other kinds of pickles. And so September 21st at 11:30 at the farmer's market. And at the last one, it was right before an election, a city election. And so we incorporated a big candidate forum, and our community here, Little Earth of United Tribes, was open their garden or their farm, and they just got a new pizza oven. So they were making us all pizzas. But it was a huge hit. And one of our high profile city council members, who rarely has come out into the Native community before that, came out. And she ended up winning her category.
What?
And she thought we had rigged it for her. And I was one of the judges. I'm like, we didn't know. We had no clue.
Cool.
So she's going to come back, Lisa Goodman, Councilmember Lisa Goodman, to defend her title.
Nice.
And it's such a good relationship building opportunity. And get some folks who don't get down into the Native community that often, down in the community, sort of demystify our community.
Right.
And show how welcoming it can be. So, yeah, that's September 1st, 11:30 to 1:30 at the Four Sisters Farmers Market.
Haley, you better get those cucumbers cut up. I got a good recipe there.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News special report. United Auto Workers Union President Sean Fain has just announced which plants the union will strike if there is no agreement by midnight Eastern Time.
GM Wentzville Assembly, Local 2250 in Region 4. Stellantis Toledo Assembly Complex, Local 12 in Region 2B. And Ford Michigan Assembly Plant, final assembly and paint only, Local 900 in Region 1A, will stand up and walk out on strike.
Northeast Ohio local president Dan Schwartz.
It's stressful, right? It's stressful on everybody. It's stressful on my family.
The union wants 40% raises over 4 years. GM's Gerald Johnson says the company has offered 20%.
This is an historic offer, best in the 115-year history of General Motors of bargaining, placing more than 75% of our team members amongst the top 15% earners in the U.S.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Peter King.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show on the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
We will be broadcasting from northern Wisconsin, Chippewa Falls.
That's right. Find Mike and Dom broadcasting live from Loopy's Grill and Saloon overlooking the river in Chippewa Falls. Join them there starting at 4 p.m.
Road trip!
With the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
The Cripes Cast with Charlie Behrens.
Today, I am talking to the owner of Funky Fresh Spring Rolls, my friend Truman McGee. From an environmentally friendly perspective,
yeah.
The fact that it's frozen means that it's not going to waste.
I am a cereal strawberry abuser. If you're a fruit and you're watching this, stay away from me, okay? Do not jump in my shopping cart because I will let you die.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober.
Open fire oven.
The radiant and conductive heat of a live fire is unmatched for wood roasting and baking artisan breads, too.
Come see the many ways you can cook over a live fire.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood and gas units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. More information at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that works for you. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Showers and storms possible tonight with an overnight low of 61, then another chance of rain and storms on Friday with a high of 76. Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood bar and restaurant at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. Come in for the famous Nightingale Burger or the Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings. View their menu or place a takeout order at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and again, I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we have a super duper special guest here, Rachel Deanne Thunder, who's driving back from Washington, D.C. and on a trip for Leonard Peltier's birthday rally. And before we get to Rachel, we want to listen to Nick's quick speech from Nick Tilson, who is there in front of the White House. Haley, should we let her play now?
Absolutely.
Well, here we go.
Tree. Fishing rights, land back, education, many of these things and many of these policies were created because the conditions were created by the American Indian movement for these things to happen. But one of our relatives, Leonard Peltier, has not been able to benefit from those changes. Has not been able to benefit from the very things that he fought for, from the very movement that he sacrificed to build.
Right on.
Yes, absolutely. Hey, we're here with Rachel Deanne Thunder, and that's just a little excerpt from what was happening yesterday and the day before in Washington, D.C.
Land back.
Yes. And Rachel, are you there? Are you able to speak with us here?
Yeah, I'm here, Robert. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Haley. So that short clip that you just heard was Nick Tilson, president, CEO, founder of Indian Collective based out of Rapid City. And Indian Collective and Amnesty International co-hosted an action yesterday in Washington, D.C., at the White House on September the 12th, which is Leonard Peltier's birthday. So this action was called the Leonard Peltier, Free Leonard Peltier 79th Birthday Action. So yesterday he turned 79 years old, behind bars, you know, held as an indigenous, as a native political prisoner for the past 47 years of those 79 years of life. And I am on the road. I am driving right now. I'm back here in Southside. We flew back early this morning. Mm-hmm. There was a caravan that was a part of this action that was planned by Indian and Amnesty International that went all the way from the Jumping Bull Camp on Pine Ridge in South Dakota to Rapid City to Minneapolis and on into D.C. And they're scheduled to be back here Southside, I believe, around 2 a.m. tonight. So they're on the road on their way back. But, you know, yesterday's action, you just heard like a small snippet of Nick Tilson speaking. There were a lot of really, really great speakers. And I don't know if you guys have that flyer that has the names and photos of those speakers that you could put on the screen. But of course, there was Nick Tilson. There were members there of Leonard Peltier's family, his children. Chauncey Peltier was there present, and so was Kathy Peltier. Then there were speakers such as Dallas Goldtooth, infamous for Reservation Dogs, for Res Dogs. He actually emceed the event. The president of the National Congress of American Indians was there, and she spoke. Suzanne Harlow, and, you know, just Nick Estes, which is, he's here in Minneapolis. He teaches at the university. So there were a lot of really powerful speakers and speeches, and several hundred participants, you know, made it there in DC for the action. And so we marched from several blocks away to the White House with the drum, and, you know, gather there kind of on the street in between Lafayette Square and the White House, and had the speakers, had medicines, had singing. And there was no I don't know how to word this. There was no one was doing anything rowdy. You know, it was all pretty standard public, you know, civil disobedience or protesting, if you want to call it that, you know, with speakers, with singing, and that sort of thing. And about an hour and a half into it, started noticing some park police showing up. You know, and they had caution tape in their hands, and slowly more and more law enforcement cruisers were kind of coming in on both sides there. And, you know, Secret Service started showing up, and then they kind of lined up on the lawn of the White House and then gathered on both ends of the street and came in from each side. And I was on live at the time. I don't think I have a clip. It would just be from my live stream. But they came in and they lined up and they cut off a section of or a group of us that were there that were closer to the White House from the rest of the group. And the rest of the group were pushed back more into the park, into Lafayette Square Park there. And so when they did that and they cut everybody off, they ended up taping off the street on both ends so nobody could get in or out from that area that they had kind of blocked off, with the people still in there. And then they just kind of slowly made arrests. They came in, they would take like one or two people at a time from that group that was cut off there at that White House. And they would take them over to the side and, you know, arrested them. But thankfully, everybody was released. Everybody was safe. And we're only giving citations is what ended up happening. I think there were a total of 35 arrests that were made.
Rachel, what was their reasoning behind this? Because, again, we've seen a lot more crazier things from MAGA and people like that at the White House, that they don't get arrested or don't even get they get protected more than anything. And here we are, a couple hundred Native Americans and allies and people watching this in front of the White House. And then they slowly make a plan to cut you guys off and shut you down and start arresting people. That's been par for the course with protests with Leonard, protecting water, and all these things. I've been down to Washington quite a few times over the years, and it just seems like Native Americans can't get a fair shake out of anything out of DC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Robert. You know, there in DC, there are protests all the time. You go to DC, you're going to see some kind of civil disobedience or protest or action happening. And it does seem like we don't get a fair shake. You know, we were there literally for a few minutes before they started kind of slowly trickling in, and, you know, and it just kept building and building until there was, you know, all of them that were there that you saw at the end, with all the arrests. And, you know, I just think, honestly, Robert, I think that they're scared. I think that they're scared of our power as Native people, as Indigenous people. I think it scares them, seeing Indigenous people unite. You know, we talk about the eagle and the condor prophecy, you know, that unification of our people here in North America with South America, and those numbers, and, you know, that power that comes with our people and our connection to the earth and our medicines and our songs and our ceremonies, that's something that they don't understand.
Right.
Because to them, they understand a dollar. Mm-hmm. And when they see that kind of power that they don't understand and that they can't control, that scares them.
You know, and another thing too, that Rachel, that scares them too, and I watched quite a few videos, live streams, including yours, is that, you know, of the old days and the new days and today days of the American Indian movement, I know whenever I go to an action, I put on my American Indian movement swag on just because of that, because there's actions over the 50 years of AIM that really have woken up people and really showed power with the Native Americans all across Turtle Island.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And Leonard is a part of that power, of right. that resistance. You know, 47 years ago, well, actually, you really want to get technical, about 49 years since he was originally arrested in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so nearly five decades, they have held this man, a father, and now a grandfather, an elder, to make an example, to say that this is what's going to happen to you if you stand up against us, if you stand up against this system, if you resist these methods of colonization that they push on our people. So they've held him to make an example out of him. And obviously it doesn't work, or it didn't work, because if it had worked, we wouldn't have even been there gathering yesterday at the White House.
Well, you know, and, you know, I was at Standing Rock four or five times. I can't remember, for, you know, a few days at a time, bringing firewood and materials. And the police were acting the same way there as they were in the 70s, 80s, the uranium. Mm-hmm. And it was bizarre, a militarization of police. And police from Minneapolis were coming there. And we deal with that with when we were protesting with, you know, Floyd and all those things that happened in the inner city with our BIPOC relatives. This is a common thing. So I just got to give you, we got a minute left, Rachel. I got to give you, your husband, Dallas Goldtooth, Indian Collective, all the people that were in Washington. I wish I could have made it. I would have been there. But to keep on keeping, and that's what we got to keep it on doing. And it's a grind, and it's a grind for the next seven generations.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, there is a lot of work that's been done. And like what Nick was saying in his speech, you know, we're building upon the work that was done by many, like the American Indian movement. And I truly do believe that the best days for our people are ahead.
Absolutely. With that, we're going to leave you, Rachel. Rachel Dion Thunder, Pinigigi, thank you always for stopping in and educating our vast listeners, our white allies, and our Native Americans that listen to this show. I really, really appreciate what you coming on and the work that you and your family do.
Thanks, Rachel.
All right. I can feel she said thank you back. Hey, we'll be right back after this. After this short break. Thank you again, Rachel. We'll be right back.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Be a vaccinative. It's time to come together and talk about the urgent need to stay up to date on COVID-19 vaccinations to protect our heritage, our loved ones, and our future. Throughout history, we have always faced challenges, and today we must protect our culture and loved ones. This is our opportunity to ensure that our tribal gatherings once again resound with joy and celebration, where the echoes of our ancestors guide our steps. It's a chance to care for our elders, cherishing their wisdom and stories for generations to come. COVID-19 vaccines are safe and effective. Let us unite, resilient as ever, and show the world the strength of the Native American community. Together, we shape a future where our traditions thrive, our children learn from our ancestors, and our people flourish once more. So be a vaccinative and learn more about staying up to date with your COVID vaccinations at health.state.mn.us. That's health.state.mn.us. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. How? Hey, Karagi, welcome back. Producer Haley Cherry here with you. Chashape Wangawe Ne Ko-Chunk Nation, Eagle Clan Descendant. I recently made a little shopping trip to the city of Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, and was so happy to come across this place as they had everything I was looking for my little weekend project. I don't want to give away their name just yet, but one of the co-owners was so kind to sneak in a little interview with me while I was there. So let's go ahead and take a listen. I am here with a very, very special guest, and I want her to go ahead and introduce herself and give her tribal affiliation as well.
My name is Jessica Travis. I come from Standing Rock and Cheyenne River.
And where are we right now?
In our store. Arlene and I have a store in Brooklyn Park, Fire Mountain Fabrics and Supply.
Yeah, so this is Jessica and Arlene's store, Fire Mountain Fabrics and Supply. This is in Brooklyn Park, 6264 Boone Avenue North, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. So how long have you guys been in this building, or how long has Fire Mountain Fabrics and Supply been around?
We started our online sales in October of last year, 2022, and opened our brick and mortar store in February of this year. So just a few months.
Great. So have you guys been pretty busy? So what made you kind of see the need for more Native fabric stores?
Arlene and I both sew for our kids, and we found just our own personal experience that there wasn't a store nearby that had the materials that we were looking for. And so we decided to open our own. And so the community response has been amazing, a lot more need than we had anticipated. We knew there was a need for ourselves, but didn't realize to the extent that everyone, you know, just, it's amazing that how many people have kept coming through, just different organizations, different school districts that are wanting to start classes and get people more involved with creating items. So even like ribbon shirts, ribbon skirts, regalia, there's a need. So yeah. It's been fun to be able to be the source for people to come in and get those supplies.
Great. So, and you've done some advocacy work with children and kind of supplying them with materials as well. How has that been, kind of giving back to the younger generation and teaching them the traditions and the ways of our ancestors?
It's fun to see the circle, having the young ones that come in, and they'll either come with their grandmas or their aunties, sometimes even their dads. But to be able to see them pick out that fabric that speaks to them, and then help them with their ribbons and matching them, and the excitement that they have. They sometimes even come in with like already drawn out skirts. I had a young girl come in. She had her skirt and everything that she wanted. She had looked online to see which fabric she wanted to use. And so it's just been amazing. We also have elders that come in that had lost that growing up, and so kind of coming into it without knowing certain things as well. It's just been amazing to see the community coming together and being able to provide a space.
I love that. Yeah, really coming full circle and teaching everyone to create, I think, is really important. So is there a reason behind the name of this store? I know it's called Fire Mountain Fabrics and Supply. Is there a reason why you guys chose that name?
Before we started our store, Arlene was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer. And so prior to her initial treatments, we ended up going back down to Arizona, where she's from. And her and I and her sisters and a group of friends ended up getting tattoos, matching tattoos that had the mountains on them for Arlene to honor her. And that what she was facing was the greatest mountain that she was about to climb. She also loves hiking, but it kind of signified that, and that we were there to help her climb that mountain. And so we wanted to put mountain into it, at some, you know, into our name for sure. And then we decided fire, just because of, you know, with our ceremonies and stuff, that fire helps heal, and yeah, it's medicine. And so that's why we decided Fire Mountain.
Love that. And do you guys have a website too for people who are out of state or maybe who don't live in Minnesota, that they can go to your website, check out, and maybe order something?
Yep, we do online sales at firemountainfabrics.com. All of the supply, well, we have inventory online, but we do have more in the store. We do orders for large groups as well. So if there are groups that are out of state and aren't nearby, they can email us at info@firemountainfabrics.com, and we can send them a separate invoice, and then we make sure that we have the stock of fabrics that they, it might show up that we don't have it online, but we might actually have some in store that we'd be able to get for them.
Great. And then just walking in here too and looking around, I saw that you guys put together little kits to make your own ribbon skirts, and I saw maybe a ribbon shirt too as well. How important is that? Do you see a lot of people buying the kits that are already put together? I feel like that's just a lot more efficient of a way for maybe a beginner or someone who is coming in here that's really overwhelmed and maybe doesn't know where to start. So how popular has the kits been?
Kits are very popular. We get a lot of school districts, different organizations that are doing classes. It makes it easy for them to be able to just hand out the kits during their classroom time. And it just has all the supplies that somebody would need for making either a ribbon shirt or a ribbon skirt. We also do tote bags. We do pillowcases for different groups, just for beginners to start learning to sew, and then they kind of move up to doing their shirt or their skirt.
Great. And will you guys be at this weekend's Mankato powwow?
We will be. Yep. We're packing up today, and we'll be heading over there tomorrow, and we'll be there through Sunday.
Great. Well, you guys, if you are in town in Minnesota...
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
Riding pants?
Okay.
Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice.
Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
This is 93.5 The Tap. It's what's on tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.